Padraig Manson is debuting as Deputy Chief Executive of Treaty Outcomes. And today we are talking of a corridor that he shared, saying that thousands of potential learners a year are lost to vocational training and we must find a way to keep them. Thank you for joining us, Paula. It's neat to catch up with you again. Ngā mihi nui kia koe.
Ngā mihi nui kia koe hoki. Dale, koutou katoa e whakarongo mai nā. It's really lovely to hear your voice again, Dale, and good morning to our listeners on Radio Aotea.
Tēnā koe. You're a good man, Paula. Thanks very much. How long have you been with Te Pukenga now, Paula?
I'm in my sixth month, but I feel like I've been on the journey of Te Pukenga a little bit longer. I was working at the Tertiary Education Commission and a little bit to do with the policy of setting up Te Pukenga, and it's a real privilege to be able to work in the team at Te Pukenga now permanently.
All new Māori initiatives seem under the spotlight a little. What would you say of, A, the goals initially of Te Pukenga and how we're tracking towards achieving them?
Well, we're at the formation stage of Te Pukenga, but I'm confident that we are putting in place the structures and the teams to take head on the big challenge we've got. And as you were saying in the warm up, Dale, there are a lot of learners, akonga Māori, akonga Pacifica, akonga Hauwā, low income Pākehā akonga, that the current systems just don't support in the way that we need the systems to support them for them to be successful.
Tēnā koe, Paula. Okay, well, let's talk about this corridor that you've been sharing and the thought lines behind it. Thousands of potential learners a year are lost to vocational training. Can you explain that, please?
Yeah, well, it's if you look at the data for the tertiary education system in general, there are tens of thousands every year, all parts of it, the vocational part, where I work, the polytechnic and the work-based side of it, but also right through to our colleagues in the university system and indeed even in the wānanga and private training establishment parts of the system, that many, many akonga are, I use the term, underserved by our systems. One of the things that sticks out when you look at the data is that a significant proportion of those learners experience attrition sometime during the enrolment phase itself. So for Te Pukenga, each year about up to 100,000 learners are underserved by our systems. About 40,000 of those are in the pre-enrolment stage. So they've started to enrol, but we don't actually see them on day one. And those are, there are many parts of the pipeline that are leaky, if I can use that metaphor, but those are that group of akonga. They're akonga that I believe, and colleagues here at Te Pukenga believe, that we can do more to support them, to make things like enrolment easier, to make sure that we are constantly giving them the guidance and support they need for choosing whatever is the right pathway for them.
Well, there's so many options for learning here, and you'd have to think if the enrolment process dissuades you, then really you're not throwing 100% commitment into where we're tracking. We always look at issues through a Māori lens too, Paula. Can you share some dynamics with our people in mind?
Yeah, well, look, your comment, Dale, about the choices, there are literally thousands of choices. And one of the dynamics is that, you know, being Māori is not particularly predictive. It's not really predictive at all about experiencing attrition in the tertiary system. But it's things like being first in your family to higher learning that are the things that are much more predictive. Things like looking after other people, children or other dependents, those things, that is highly predictive of attrition. Things like living an hour away from the physical campus, and of course, or the place of learning. These things tend to fall much more heavily in Māori whānau and Māori communities. The first and family dynamic is a fascinating one. When you're confronted with thousands of choices and nobody in your family has ever been to tertiary learning before, it's actually really hard to know which pathway to take. We as tertiary providers have to really invest a lot more in guidance to support Akonga Māori or others in making those choices and being able to really, if we want them to be able to graduate in the quickest time possible with less debt and be able to get into really meaningful work and rewarding work for them and their families.
Thanks, Baura. I'm old, so I can sort of recall when we had the emergence of, for instance, Te Wānanga o Aotearoa, which was seen as a game changer for many of our people who might have had a disconnect during their education life. And as adults, particularly our women coming back in their late 20s after having kids, we're getting wonderful results. And so we were very upbeat and buoyant about the prospects of Māori tertiary ed. I just wonder what you see. Have we plateaued here or even maybe dipped in numbers? What's your assessment of Māori tertiary ed as we speak, Paura?
Well, Dale, look, first a huge mihi to our colleagues in the Wānanga sector, and I need to mihi too to colleagues in the private training establishment sector and the colleagues, I'm now part of Te Pūkenga, and bringing together all of the polytechnics and the industry, and most of the industry training organisations. We see right across the system there have been pockets of success, massive success in the Wānanga system. In terms of, I need to be careful, but my observation is that many of our whānau saw the Wānanga as a bridge that they could walk over to into tertiary learning, and they equally see that for the polytechnic system and the industry training system. I think where we've got to, we've got to a bit of a point where, now, in this part of social life, the gaps are, and unfortunately you've got to look at the sort of attrition gaps, and they're not huge. They're generally speaking in the 10 to 15% kind of difference in graduate success outcomes. But they've just sat that way for decades, and it just doesn't. We don't seem to be able to shift that pattern and achieve the goal of equitable outcomes. So it's really about what are the things that we're going to need to shift that last phase? And Dale, one of the things I'm glad to be able to talk to you about and with listeners about is that in many ways, our tertiary approach to this has been about bolting on really great, well-intended, but small-scale programs and supports. We've arrived at a point in time where we need to say, what is it about those things that actually work and how do we scale it up? And for me, that's one of the promises of Te Pūkenga, is that by unifying our network, we've got an amazing opportunity to scale up the things that we can see working in pockets across our system.
I guess we encourage our people to learn in whatever environment they can. The merging of vocational training, where people are doing apprenticeships and the like, into those who are studying for courses, certificates, diplomas, degrees, etc., might crowd the space somewhat. Is the merging of these two lines of study the right way forward for tangata whenua?
Oh, absolutely. It's the right way forward for Aotearoa as well, that if we can, the goal of the system where we can, in a global sense, it's really about learning that can occur in lots of different places and in lots of different ways. So us technocrats tend to talk about campus-based learning, work-based learning, and distance or digital-based learning. Those are your three kind of ways of learning, if you like, in modern society. I'm fond of talking about a fourth one, noho marae, block residential-based modes of learning. And really, the future is about combinations of those ways of supporting learners wherever they are, so they can learn at whatever time, wherever they are. For low-income communities, and that's the reality for many of our people, work-based learning is absolutely the smart way forward. The idea of being able to earn while you learn, and I was pleased to hear the plug for MITO, for the industry training organisation that supports people in the mechanic and vehicle and oil and gas industries, just before I came on the show, Dale. Securing the apprenticeship and being able to learn while you're on the job. There are some amazing opportunities, though, for us to, at the moment, work-based learning is focused in, if you like, the lower ends of study for many of our communities. particularly our iwi communities and provincial iwi communities, we need to look at things like degree-based apprenticeships so that, you know, our learners can be in work, working in the Māori health provider, working on the dairy unit or the fishing boat, doing the apprentice, but then kicking on into the learning that enables them to be the skipper of the fishing boat or the manager of the health provider arm of the iwi, those sorts of things. So it's really about opportunity by bringing these things together, Dale. And look, in terms of apprenticeships, one of the things I touched on in the article that led me to catching up with you this morning is that if you look at what is driving, what's making it hard for apprentices, apprentices across the board, but also, and particularly Māori apprentices, our research from interviewing apprentices is that it's things like mental health support, it's things like support with managing childcare, it's things like I'm not sure if my boss actually gets me culturally, those sorts of things. So for Te Pukenga, we have lots of people who specialise in providing mental health support and childcare advice support and culturally affirming behaviours for tutors and lecturers and those sorts of things. So for us, it's about the opportunity to bring the apprenticeship side of our organisation together with the specialists that we have in our campus side to make things easier for apprentices and in today's corridor, Māori apprentices in particular.